nice things.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this first thrilling, fun-packed Wednesday edition of Nice Things.
Nice Things.
The antidote to modern living. And joining me, Sir Michael Livesley, this week we have...
My name is Paul Carmichael, and you are welcome to the first ever midweek APCA hack.
Ah, yes. You are the... I nearly gave away where you live then, you see.
Ooh,
I keep nearly doing this.
Very
you are
nearly.
Our own resident Sir Alan Winstanley. Our Lord.
Lord, I prefer to think. Absolutely, yes. But it's coming up to that time of year where I have to lead the procession through the village.
You do, yes.
It's always exciting, you know, with my horse that occasionally catches fire. But,
Bareback, of course.
Oh, of course, absolutely. The full lady Godiva bit, dear.
But, of course.
Did you used to watch APCA hack? I did.
Only by accident.
I think I actually watched it deliberately, which is a bit of a strange thing to do, because it was specifically for the Asian community. Which,
it was.
Surprisingly, I was not a member. But...
No. It was, effectively, it was This Is Your Right, wasn't it, with Lord Alan Winstanley, but in Urdu.
Yes.
And APCA hack translates as This Is Your Right.
I didn't know that.
Now you do.
Now I do,
you see.
Not only am I being educated, but I'm learning a new language as well.
You are indeed. And speaking of lords and those of the political persuasion, Winston Churchill, Churchill's People, what a series.
Oh, now then, here's an interesting one. Mike and I have got hold of some tapes. Mm. And this wasn't easy, this one. A long time ago, back in 1992, BBC Two did a day of TV called TV Hell. And... it was basically all the worst television since television had started broadcasting. And there were three programmes on there that immediately grabbed my attention. One was Triangle, infamously shot on a North Sea ferry going from Felixstowe to Gothenburg to Rotterdam and back.
Where we saw Kate O'Mara's Triangle.
We very nearly did for 7 o'clock in the evening, yes. With the wonderful line, "I wonder what she's like topsides." So
was it ever answered?
There wasn't. There was just very, very strange scripts, but I do love it. Then there was Heil, Honey, I'm Home, the failed sitcom about Hitler. That took a while to get, but 30 years it took to track down Churchill's People, all 26 of the buggers.
It is, without doubt, the most... what's the word one can use for
I don't
it?
Think there is a word to describe
there
it.
There isn't.
I think a new word... So, should we explain what it is?
Chutzpah. Of the creators.
Let's go. All right, so the basics. Churchill's People. So Winston Churchill wrote his wonderful A History of the English-Speaking People.
His life-defining legacy.
Absolutely. And it's a remarkable piece of work, A History of the English-Speaking People. So naturally, the BBC eventually go, well, that needs dramatising. But in a very strange way.
Well... we got hold of a document, didn't we?
That sheds
light on the politics behind the series. And it wasn't... well, it was in a roundabout way it was found, because you wanted George and Margaret.
That's right. I wanted George and Margaret for our good friend Gav Rymill, who then, I don't think he knew anything about Churchill's People, couldn't find that, found this instead.
Because found the producer, in the
Gerald
University
Savory
of...
was the producer, and he'd written the play, George and Margaret, yeah.
So it wasn't particularly the BBC who wanted to do it, it was Gerald Savory.
It was. It did seem that as former head of drama, he had an awful lot of sway, and he desperately wanted to do this, but with certain interesting conditions attached. So, Churchill's People is made entirely in studio, there's no location work, and they've gone for a Brechtian approach, could we say? Maybe.
Ooh, I mean, is that push. Even a big... That's a good start... but I'm not certain that it covers the entire... even the first episode with Jeremy Kemp and...
Paul Darrow, Bernard Archard.
I'm trying to remember our Norwegian friend. We forgot his name the other week. Freddy Jaeger.
Frederick
Jaeger, bare-breasted in like a plastic Smithies
Viking
helmet with clearly plastic horns on it. He's meant to be an ancient British chieftain.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, isn't it? And so
each episode,
it goes from, I think, Pritam, just before the Roman invasion, all the way up to the Industrial Revolution or something.
Yes.
It's ambitious.
Ambitious is a good word for it, yes. I mean, the plastic polystyrene Stonehenge in the Pritan episode interested me. I actually love it. Yeah. I just think it transcends shit. It transcends bad taste. It transcends... It is just... It makes Cave of Skulls look like the RSC.
It does. It's amazing. The loveliest thing about it is, of course, is that the BBC knew that they buggered up almost instantly, because the first couple of tapes are watched and the immediate thought is, oh, bollocks, we've given this so... We've taught this up so much, it's had loads of pre-publicity. We've got to show it. Oh, yeah. God. So that first episode runs to 44 minutes. They had to cut 7 minutes of it out to make it transmittable.
Lord knows what that was like. It's even the credits with the shit coins turning. It's just everything about it is like shonky. Everything.
Yeah. It's like they almost did it really well, but then went, oh, should we just not? But
wasn't it affected by strikes and funding cuts and what was it, VAT or tax that went stupid halfway through or something?
Well, yeah, we are. I mean, we're coming up to times of real discontented winters and that, aren't we, at that point? You can see, I think, across all British television, from about 1977, you can see that budgets suddenly drop rapidly. But Churchill's People is 74, 75. Mm. But it was made very much when the unions were... Excuse me. When the unions were in power, coughing everywhere.
They were coughing on the picket line.
And if you coughed and it's someone else's job to cough, then obviously we're just... Out we go, everybody out. Yeah.
Yes, I was trying to think of a clever name for a coughing union that would be have the acronym FLEM, but I can't. Anyway...
It's midweek, dear. You've got that lovely strike. I mean, my favourite strike of all time, I think. Because obviously we've all got a favourite strike. My strike...
Top ten.
Number one for me is the play school clock strike, which is when somebody moved the play school clock. Now, the play school clock was part owned by Electronics and part owned by Props. And I think that Props were allowed to move it and Electronics were allowed to turn it on. But I think someone from Electronics moved the clock just a bit. And that was enough to cause whole strike. Not only was everybody out on play school, but the BBC, everybody out. And that lasted 9 days.
Yeah, it's like, amazing. Well, that's the plot of Carry On At Your Convenience, isn't it? They come up with a B-day. They get a big order and they come up with a B-day. And because you've got the whatever union make the toilets and the whatever other union make the urinals, the B-day is neither of those things.
That's right, yeah.
And so it's like, well, what if he connects that pipe up and then he turns the thing and he's like, no, 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 no. So, I mean, but we could be approaching another winter of discontent. I mean, who knows?
Good.
Who knows? You say good, but you won't be happy if the Amazon drivers go on strike, will you? What if Alexa goes on strike?
Well, no, that Radio 4 won't go on strike, will they? Oh, what if the electricity goes off? Shit.
What if? Have you got one of them wind-up radios? What was his name? Trevor?
Something. Absolutely not. Won't have one in the house.
Why?
Well, weren't they made for Mozambique or something? That would be rude to take one.
Ah, I see. So you are thinking of others.
I'm thinking of the colonies and making sure that they have access to Just a Minute and the Archers. Absolutely.
During the winter of discontent.
During the winter of discontent in the Gobi Desert or whatever, where they would more than need it. No, I do say that would be all right, because I have to say, I mean, I know that not everyone enjoyed it, but the first lockdown, when everything went like survivors out there, I loved that.
There was no lockdown. It was poor people bringing things to rich people. That's the bit you liked.
No, I like that. But no, I liked going to Morrison's because it was like, okay, I've got to, you know, get kitted up to go shopping. That was exciting.
You were thinking you were going to meet up with George Baker in a Land Rover.
That's the sort of thing, yeah. Everyone stood in a queue outside Morrison's two at a time in silence.
I hated that bit. I couldn't
did
do
you?
That bit. Oh. I couldn't do that bit. I don't know what I did. I think I used to go at certain times. Do you remember the times when people would try and sneak in as NHS workers in that hour?
Yes.
I saw a few. Oh, no, I didn't try it. Right. I mean, you had to show your papers. Mm. But I saw a few people try it. It was quite interesting, wasn't it? You know, people showed the true colours during all of that. People who wanted a bit of authoritarian power were happy to tell people, you've got to put one of these beef joints back. That may have happened to me.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
That one may have happened to me.
Actually, I did find that irritating when you couldn't buy certain things. You're in the shop, but you're not allowed to buy records. But they're there. And that'll cheer me up.
No. Non-essential purchases, dear boy.
Bullshit. Didn't like that bit.
Who decides what's non-essential, isn't it?
Well, I think looking forwards to the winter, being warm is non-essential.
Being warm. I've told you, buy a Calagas heater.
Oh, I know. But no, I'm still thinking, if we end up with an awful lot of power cuts and stuff like that, isn't that going to be a little bit exciting? Just a bit.
I will be delighted. It won't bother me. I've got a piano, coal fire, and an imagination. I'll be fine.
Absolutely.
I also have candles. So,
oh, yes.
You know, if you get bored, you can shove them up your ass, can't you? But it'll be all right. It'll be all right if you are prepared. Mm. That's the bottom line here, isn't it? And I don't know about people who just say into their phone, Alexa, get Just Eat to bring me an avocado toast round. I don't know what those kinds of people are going to do.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I don't use Alexa for that.
No, but there's a lot of people, you know, when you step out into the road where we work, you are very nearly articulated by bloody Deliveroo and other people on bikes delivering people's breakfasts and things. It's like, you lazy fucker.
Those people who think that they can drive on the pavement and try.
That's
and
the fellows. Yes. So, I mean, like, what are they going to do if they can't ring up and get a boiled egg? They don't even ring up. They ask the phone. It's like, get us a boiled egg.
Well, yeah, but isn't this a wonderful thing? Because what we might end up with is a bit like, you know, when Douglas Adams said that somehow a complete substrata of middle management on a planet was killed off.
Yes.
What we might end up with is a similar thing, where an awful lot of these people who would eat avocado don't make it.
And what if they decide that they'll break into Carmichael Acres and steal your avocados?
Absolutely not. One, I don't eat avocados because they're dirty.
All right, well, they'll have whatever you've got. They're hungry.
I've not got anything for the likes of you, I'm afraid.
There is nothing here. Go home and shut
the
window.
Exactly. That's it, absolutely. And if you bang on it, I'll phone the militia. So, yeah.
What if there's nothing and they're in your house and they're like that, put Churchill's people on, man.
How would they get in my house?
I don't know, they boot the door in or something.
I'm not having any of this sort of thing at all.
Well, I'm not, but I mean, well, who knows?
Well, presumably there are laws that govern this sort of thing. Aren't I allowed to kill somebody if they do that?
I don't know. I mean, how would you kill them? Beat them to death with a Howard's Way box set? I'm not sure.
I've got some weaponry about somewhere. I know the Hoover is quite heavy. Hoover to the back of the head. You're not going to stay in my house long.
You'd need a pit stop halfway through battering someone to death with a Hoover. Would they hang on while you got your breath back?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, you could just ask them to wait for a moment.
Just give a minute.
Yeah. Well, there's always the difficulty when you end up stage fighting by mistake, and it looks very effective, but if the other person's not choreographed with you...
You'll be looking for your doublet and hose whilst they're in the bloody... In the cupboards in the kitchen. They'll have had all your... You know, your fancy tins of bloody fish from abroad and whatnot.
Well, they can't have that. They can't have the fancy fish. They wouldn't know what to do with it.
Oh, they would. They'd eat it, dear.
They wouldn't eat it properly, though, would they? They'd just eat it from the tin.
They would eat it. Yes, they would. They'd be eat it like common people would eat it. And like,
absolutely not.
These are rubbish. No. One burp and you're empty. More.
No. Right, so... I'm still on for a winter of discontent, and if those people don't make it, you know, these things happen.
So what if you have marauding hordes, like, crossing through the Mersey Tunnel towards the people on the Wirral who have plenty? It'd be like the Russian Revolution.
It would. Well, I mean, surely there's only one thing there. Won't it have sluice gates?
I'm not sure. There's no electric.
Well, all right, but there must be a way of just opening the tunnel and just filling it.
Brick up the Mersey Tunnel? Your
if
favourite
you must
show?
You must put it like that. Yeah, just do that. Crack a hole in it. Gone. Try that again. We'll do it again. There's another tunnel. Do the rest of you want to go? No, I'm not having it.
There's a lesson in this, and I don't know what it is.
Well, the lesson is don't try and break into my house or you'll get drowned.
Well, absolutely, yes.
I'm not having any of that.
Yes, anyway. We don't want any of this to happen, do we?
No, we just want a winter of discontent for everyone to go, that's all the reaction needs.
Everyone
to
just sits around quietly and starves to death.
Well, you know, you can eat less or you can catch
rats. I thought
you
didn't want them to make it.
Well, no, I don't want them to, but it's probable that some of them will escape, won't they? I mean, everyone always escapes
to your
something.
House.
Not towards my house. I'm not having that part. The rest of it's absolutely fine, but there are many charitable organisations that they could go to, and they're welcome to.
Yes, but, you know...
There aren't any round here.
Don't come round here. There'll be no free blankets and pot noodles here.
Absolutely not. None of that sort of muck.
No. I approve of that, but not in my area.
That's completely correct, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think this is a very sensible way to think. If we just get the perimeter fences re-established from the 1700s, everything will be fine and dandy.
Just keep out the scousers.
Just anyone, really.
Anyone who wants your... what fish. Would they be? Yeah, your fish. What's posh fish? What's a posh fish?
Well, caviar's probably as posh as you can get.
Yeah, so you got stockpiled caviar, and these people are like just... opening tins, spitting it into your sink, and then, you know, ransacking your DVDs.
None of this makes me want to have a winter of discontent. No. Is that you're trying to put me off?
Well, this is more like Bloody Road Warrior, isn't it? It's not exactly winter of discontent. This is like Mad Max time I'm talking about. I don't think that's going to happen.
Do you not? What do you think will happen? Go on, then.
I think that people will get jolly angry and sit at home... and moan. I don't think anything will happen. It's Britain, after all.
Well,
I think it
true.
Should happen. I've been encouraged the last couple of days to see there have been people outside the offices of utility companies saying they won't pay and burning the bills and stuff like that. But
well, it's 200,000 people now have signed up to say absolutely not. And I think the plan is en masse to cancel direct debits on the 31st of September or something. And just go to a monthly pay, because that loses them a lot of money, doesn't it, the old company?
Yeah, I don't know where you go from here. I really don't know where you go from here. It's all, you know, I put a tweet out the other day, even disagreeing with the rise in energy bills is now political. Because the government have done this clever thing, haven't they, by, oh, well, you're going to pay more for your bills so that we can support Ukraine. So now, all of a sudden, if you object to being dry-bummed by Scottish Power... which I imagine would wear a tartan hat and like that gingery hair stuff.
Like Russ Abbott.
Exactly like Russ Abbott. Och, bend over. It's your gas bill. So if that was to happen and you complain, you're a fascist.
You're a fascist who supports Putin, are you?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Because he's got all the gas.
Hang on, is that if I complain about them going up?
Yes.
Well, I've complained a lot about them going up.
Oh. Well, you're on the list.
Oh, no, have I become a fascist now?
Yes. You're never more than three tweets from being Hitler on Twitter.
I'm certainly not, no.
You're certainly not, no. Blocked by...
everyone.
Everyone. What was her name now?
Kay Burley blocked me. Didn't like that. Loads of people. Like, whenever you send me tweets, I have a look at that, and I go and I click the link, and then immediately can't say, oh... previously annoyed them, have I? Right.
Yeah, yeah, that's good, that. I enjoy that. So, I have got a nice thing that I'd forgotten all about.
Let's have a look at your nice thing.
That's enough terror.
Yes.
1 week. The Web of Fear. I've not watched this yet. I've been too busy with my head in something you'd hate called Sandman, which is very good.
What's it on?
Netflix.
Common.
Yes.
No.
You wouldn't like it.
I wouldn't, absolutely not. I would like that, directed by Douglas Camfield, legendary director.
Very good.
He's good.
And there's an option not to watch the shit animation, you tell me, which is what swung it for me.
Always avoid the shit animations, dear. But no, wonderful, wonderful director. So you'll enjoy that. I got a nice thing as well. And here it is. I've been looking for this for quite a while. This is Au Café Candide. This
lovely.
Is a lovely BBC record. For the benefit of you watching in vision, here's the label.
The label. That's Paul Porn right there.
That is. Oh, that label's spinning around. So what this is it's Angela Richards, who was one of the lead actors in Secret Army. And for those of you who don't know what Secret Army is, it's a lower low without the jokes. But Lovely Angela Richards, who used to sing in the bar to distract the Germans. And it's a collection of the songs recorded. Oh, it's lovely, actually. It's a lovely album. Yeah,
is there anything inscribed around the label in the vinyl? You know, the guys who worked at the pressing plants, the best example is another Porky Prime cut, because there was a guy called Porky worked at the pressing plant, and he used to always put that in his records.
No, there isn't on this one.
No, not on the BBC, dear. Porky wouldn't have been allowed near.
No, absolutely not. He'd have been on the ITV releases.
He would have been.
Yeah, no, nothing like that on there, but mint condition record. That's a beauty, that one. Very happy with that.
I bet you are. I want that one that Simon got, the music from The Hanged Man.
The Hanged Man is a brilliant series, and I've just forgotten the name of the lead actor. Died far too young, but
Colin
it was in the RSC.
Blakely.
Yes, Blakely.
Yeah.
From when your lead actor could look kind of roughed up and it was okay.
Operation Julie, do you remember that?
No.
With him. Oh, that's great. It's about LSD production in the late 60s. Mm. In breaking up gangs. He's brilliant in Saturday Night Sunday Morning as the sailor who gets pissed.
Yes, he is. He's a fantastic actor.
He was a brilliant actor.
Somewhat of a drinker, of course, I believe. Mm. You can hear that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, he was an actor, dear. I mean,
yes.
That's the trouble, isn't it? You don't know where you are on the lottery of life. Is it going to affect you or not? No, he was great, Colin Blakely. And the record's superb, then.
Mm. Oh, it's absolutely superb. I mean, I was thinking, how would they have done it if we just got things lifted off the TV soundtrack? Oh, no, they've gone into studio and cut an actual album, which
you've
I
got
love.
To. Them you days, to. It was rights hell. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, BBC stuff back then, I don't know what's changed. There's got to have been some ruling that's changed everything so that you can release stuff that the public have funded. Because I'm guessing that would have been... In the 70s, people would have been like, I pay my licence, therefore you give me free tapes of this TV show.
I don't know, you know. It's because you got an awful lot of BBC records and tapes being released, didn't you? And
But they weren't off the telly. They were never off the telly. All those Hancock ones, they went into a studio and re-recorded the episodes especially.
Oh, I know that some were re-recorded, but you do get plenty, like the kids' TV shows, Henry's Cat, that sort of thing. They're just lifted straight off. And I think some of the comedy... Okay. Monty Python's Flying Circus, for example, is lifted. So, I don't know, I think...
Well, they used to do their own albums, didn't they, for that reason?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you had matching tie and handkerchief and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the Python records contained very little of what was actually on the on the TV show. But, no, I think that people would have actually just accepted it much more because the BBC used to give you... Masses amounts of stuff, of drama, of comedy, and so on.
I remember people complaining about buying the Radio Times.
Really?
Yeah. Because, hang on, I already pay for this.
No, I've never objected to paying for the Radio Times. Oh, I do now. £4 a week, I object to
four
that.
£4?
£4.
No.
Yes.
Is that what the Radio Times is?
£4.
No, it's not.
It's four
no, it can't be.
It can, and it means that the double issue this Christmas is probably going to be a tenner.
No.
Yes. Got to
fucking
have that.
Fucking shit.
I know.
And it's shit.
Well, there's nothing in there I want to read, but you have to get these things, don't you?
No. I last bought the Christmas because we all had that lovely ritual. Sad bastards like me. Had that ritual whereby they got the double Christmas Radio Times, and in the old days, the TV Times, and with a pen, mark what they were going to watch and listen to. The last time I bought it, all that I marked to watch was the Likely Lads Christmas special, the Steptoe. It was just all classic TV repeats. It's like, no, there is nothing new I want to watch.
No, I suppose not. I mean, I think if you're looking at the moment, this is controversial for me at any rate. I would say at the moment, if you're looking for quality stuff on terrestrial television, you need to be looking towards Channel 5.
Such as?
I never believed I would say that. Channel 5 have got the mixture just right. And they're working away under the surface, you know. Not really being noticed at the moment. But they do so many bloody good documentaries.
Documentaries. I agree with that. I've edited a few.
Yes. They're good on the dramas and they're getting better. I mean, I know that the purist in me has to hate it, but the new All Creatures Great and Small...
I was just going to mention that. Isn't that very good?
It's very, very good.
Yeah.
I've got to say. So I think with Channel 5, you've got them, they're beetling away, producing this stuff, and the audience for them is actually growing, which makes them fairly unique. And then occasionally they pull a wonderful stunt, like we talked about a few weeks, having a non-white actor as Anne Boleyn, which makes everyone go, oh, but generates publicity. You know, there's the occasional little, little trick like that that is just helping them to grow. That and spending money on programs, it would seem, which seems to be what they're doing. They're spending cash where they should be. So
yes,
at the moment, it's not quite what did it used to be? Football and shagging, I think they referred to it as when it first started.
Yes. Yeah. Nothing wrong with either of those activities.
Well, I would disagree half. But 25 years later, finally they're producing some good stuff. So,
Yeah, I don't watch the telly, unfortunately. I can heartily recommend Sandman. The Sandman. Neil Gaiman book, I think. Or Neil Gaiman wrote it. It's good. It's good, man. Well, you like the new Game of Thrones, don't you?
Yes.
And the old Game of Thrones, which surprises me.
I don't mind the old Game of Thrones at all. Yeah, that's just fun and excitement. You can turn your brain off, and this new one's... pardon, it's all right.
The thing is... good job she's asleep. It was all right till Sean Bean had his head cut off. And that's another thing. Sean Bean, you know, you've got to pick one. Either be Sean Bourne or Sean Bean.
Yes.
You can't have both.
No, it doesn't
work.
Can't
have both, but he does.
He does. But you wouldn't argue with him, would you? This is a man who won't do TV shows unless he gets killed. So it gives me hope for that dreadful marriage shit that's on BBC One at the moment.
Oh, dreadful. Right, yeah, I've only heard people go on about how awful it is.
Oh, I've managed 10 minutes. Have you watched it? 10 minutes.
You push yourself, don't you? You watch them so we don't have to.
I just feel that at some point the BBC are going to do something and I'll go, there you go, that's why I've supported them. It's not this, unfortunately. Two actors sat around having a moan. Lots of silence. And then, oh, did you let the dog out? Yeah, let the dog out. Why are you crying, Sean? I don't know. I know.
Oh,
what's
dear.
Oh, it's arse. It's awful.
No. No,
stool water. No, absolutely not.
No? Well, I don't know how you can watch it. It depresses me whenever you mention the BBC.
I know, because at some point they might just turn it around. Might.
No.
Probably
any
not.
New dramas in the pipeline from the BBC?
No. I mean, well, right. You've got the 100th anniversary of the BBC, which is, October. And so... we're going to get a 90-minute episode of Doctor Who.
Oh, great. Maybe they'll do an updated The Brothers and finish it all off. Colin Baker's still with us.
He is. I could play most of the other parts.
You could just put different hats on like Peter Butterworth in Carry On Abroad.
There we go. That's all that we need.
No
Something
problem.
Like that. We need a big Sunday night super soap as they used to have. That's what we need.
Yes. Haven't Big Finish ever done any The Brothers?
Well, no, I think even for them, only one surviving actor would probably tilt it in favour of, maybe we won't.
It could be like The Godfather 3.
Well, I've not seen The Godfather 1, so how would it be like the...
That's criminal.
It's how long is it?
Each one?
Yeah.
Potentially about 150 minutes.
Absolutely not. That's 3 episodes of Star Cops. No, I'm not doing it.
But Star Cops is shit.
It's not shit, it's very good.
It is shit.
It's not shit, it's bold.
Thing with Zelda in, it's Terrorhawks.
That's Terrorhawks, no. Anyway, look, no, 150 minutes.
Too.
It's like whoever it was who was trying to persuade me this week about reading The Hobbit. Occasionally, one of the students tried to persuade me that I really should read The Hobbit. No, why would I?
It's all right, The Hobbit.
No, it's not.
It is.
Right, if the film's 9 hours long, how long's the bloody book?
Well, it takes you a while to read it. You couldn't read it in 9 hours.
Well, then, no, I'm not interested.
You could probably
at all.
Read it in 2 weeks.
Oh, I think Tolkien's arse. I think the whole obsession with gnomes talking about their rings is just a bit weird, fetishistic. I don't see the point of any of it, of this made-up mystical shit. Oh, we've got to go to Aragar. Why? I don't care. I genuinely don't care.
No.
You don't need to. You don't exist, nor do they. Not interested.
Liked
Why
it
would
as
I
a
be
kid.
Interested?
Liked
Why?
It as a kid. It's all sort of Gimli, son of Glory. You've got to keep... And this is the same shit with Game of Thrones. You've got to keep track of who's dad...
Yeah, but I can see them. I can see them and I can go, oh, there's Charles Dance. I don't know what his name is, but I know him. That's
fine.
Hang
on a minute. There's all gnomes and shit in Game of Thrones, isn't it?
There's one actor who's a dwarf. That's it.
There you go. Is he really one, or is he like that boy who looks like a dwarf but isn't, that we know?
No.
Is he a real one?
Oh, he's a real one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he's just like a short person who happened, and you know,
Peter Dinklage.
That's it, and the character in Game of Thrones is a dwarf, so that makes sense.
So there's no gnomes and stuff?
No, they don't do any of that. There's the occasional dragon, but I can believe in them. That at some point...
there be dragons?
Well, it's mentioned in the Bible, isn't it?
Don't recall there being a dragon in the Bible.
I'm sure there's a dragon in the Bible.
Might be.
Must be. You know, they said there were giants in the Bible, and as you were telling me this week, the Smithsonian, open the archive and let us have a look at those. But
Definitely giants buried in mounds all over America, as Abraham Lincoln himself said.
Well, there we are. Could it not just be that they're just people who were a bit overweight?
No. Like 8, 9, 10 foot skeletons. All documented. All locked away in the Smithsonian archive.
Yes, you see.
Well, it didn't correlate with Darwin's theory, did it?
Doesn't it? Because surely survival of the fittest, but eventually...
Survival of the fattest this winter.
Well, yes. Absolutely.
So maybe we should just be shoving food down our necks constantly in order to fatten up to see it through.
Well, now this is a good point. Are we all going to have to start eating processed shit?
Oh, no, I don't recommend that.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. No, I don't. Stodge is going to be needed, isn't it, a lot?
Stodge, well, I don't know, because, I mean, I don't know. Are they going to really knock the lecky off? Because if so, refrigerators and freezers, you're knackered. How are you going to cook it?
Well, God knows. No
Maybe
idea.
Maybe we'll all be
all.
Like round braziers and turning rats on spits and stuff like that.
Like at the end of Threads.
Like at the end of Threads.
Now, you see, again, I think I'd like that because I keep forgetting that what actually I would like is to be in Threads. So I think, oh, that looks good. But that's only because I think that my trailer's over there. So I might not like the Winter of Discontent.
You wouldn't be on Worgen the following Monday saying, oh, the rats were horrible, Terry. No, you'd be sort of fighting over bits of rat.
I don't want to do that, actually.
No, I say what we do is we ride out this situation in our villa on a private island off Tuscany.
Okay.
That's sort of amply stocked and the stuff growing everywhere and there's no need. The sort of, you know, the houseboy gets all the food in.
That's things.
Yeah, that sounds all right. I can do that.
I can do that. Absolutely.
Happy
no
to read the newspapers from back in England. Rat shortage intensifies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. If that's what we're going to do, we're absolutely fine then.
Yeah, just need that island now off Tuscany with the villas. And with sound.
We could try crowdfunding it.
Oh, you're frozen. Oh, he's back.
Oh, back now. We could crowdfund it, I was saying, dear.
Yeah,
I mean, there'd be nothing
in. No, 75p. Can you get a villa in Tuscany for 75p?
Probably a bit difficult these days. I mean, there's nothing in it for the public. I think that's part of the joy of crowdfunding, isn't it? That there's meant to be something in
it
for
people. Satisfaction at a job well done.
That's very true, actually.
Do you know George Clooney? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, get him to let us live in his house.
Oh, I thought you meant, do I know of him? I'm afraid not. No, I haven't.
Balls. No.
Does he live off an island near Tuscany? Or?
No doubt. He'll be all right. He won't be squabbling over bloody vermin.
Rats. No, he won't.
No. There's no way. But he'll be on telly telling us we need to. In order to support the current thing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, no, I approve of that. I'll support George on this one.
Okay. So, all right. So you're happy to eat rat for George?
Again, I'm assuming that I won't actually be a part of this. I'll be in some sort of, like, position of authority. Bit like in the war game, that Peter Watkins thing, where they give traffic wardens, they suddenly arm them and turn them into military police, that sort of thing.
Yes.
I like to think there'd be some sort of an arrangement like that.
Yes. Well, if with not, a bit of luck, the wages will keep rolling in, even though there's no Lecky.
Yeah.
And hopefully the local rat merchant will have a card machine.
I think he'll do well out of all this, the old rat merchant. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, all right, we're going to be all right.
We'll be fine.
There's lots of practical advice for listeners there.
I think so. I think if you've listened to today's show, there's no need to have any worries whatsoever about the forthcoming winter.
No.
Do you remember?
Friendly with George Clooney.
You won't remember, actually, because it was on a Blue Peter in the 70s. But during all the power cuts, John Peton Val suggested something you might like to do is check on your elderly neighbours during power cuts. Make sure that they are really tucked in, like covers tucked under the bed, and then fill the room with candles so that your old person is stuck in bed and there's just loads of candles anywhere, everywhere.
So they can stick them up their arse if they get bored.
I don't know if that was exactly what John Noakes was going to do. Maybe. But I was more worried about old people burning to death. But cheap food.
Well, yeah. I mean, they'd be cooked nicely for when
the
rats
run out. Soylent Green, sorted, yes.
Yeah, soiled bedding and Soylent Green. There's
the title for the show this week right there.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it looks like the clock's running down again, dear.
It is, yes.
So we hope you enjoyed whatever that was, and you now have all your tips for surviving the forthcoming Armageddon. Become
Absolutely.
Friendly with George Clooney, I think, was the conclusion, wasn't it?
I think that's basically all that you've got to do.
And just do that.
In 4 days, we'll be dealing with the debt crisis on this Sunday, is nice.
Absolutely, with Paul Lewis Carmichael. Or whatever his name is. Martin Lewis. Yes, you can be Martin Lewis.
Okay.
Yes. Well, we hope you enjoyed whatever that was. And these half hours feel a bit odd. I'm not sure that they quite feel that snug yet. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So, we hope you all enjoy the next four days. And until the next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Modern Living was presented by Sir Michael Livesley and Lady Paul Carmichael. The music was written by Michael Livesley, and the flutes were played by Andy Frizzell and John No Jokes Please Lewis. Nice Things is a Guilty Dog production.
Nice Things.